Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the entrance to the Ennis Ruins. We can't go in, the park is closed, because there's some things going on back there right now. Today, I would like to begin with reading a psalm to you. This is Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I'll just read to you. Lord, they have increased who troubled me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You, O Lord, are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. David was in trouble, and he knew it. Even his son Absalom had turned against him. But David kept his faith where it needed to be. Yes, things looked bad, but he kept his faith there. He took a hold of that faith, and God carried him through. Now, have you ever been there? Perhaps even now, you're up against a wall, and you've got to make a decision, a huge decision that could cost you everything. Perhaps you've done that and God's come through. Or perhaps you've made a huge mistake and it did cost you everything. And you cry out to God and it just seems like he's not even there. Finally, after years, God finally comes through and rescues you. Today, we're going to look at two people from the Old Testament, and this is the story of each of them. So, the first one had to make a life-changing decision, and God came through almost within 24 hours. The second made some bad decisions, and it cost him dearly. And he cried out to God, and nothing happened. And then after years, God came through. So, perhaps if this is your story, then perhaps this will be an encouragement to you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word. Lord, be with me. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need you to speak through me. Father, let me share what you've laid on my heart. And I'll ask that you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want you to go with me to the second book of the Bible. It's the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, it has the story of one of the greatest human leaders that ever walked on the face of the earth. It's the story of Moses. But this story had more than just Moses as the central figure. Well, let me just read it to you. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now men from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. And then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the Nile, with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." We all know the story. We've heard it over and over again. Moses' mom and dad, they got pregnant and were expecting a little baby boy. The only trouble is, Pharaoh had just made a decree that all the Hebrew boys must die at birth. You see, the Jews were flourishing and getting stronger and stronger and stronger in Egypt, and Pharaoh didn't like that. So he decided to kill all the baby boys. And then Jochebed, Moses' mom, and his dad got pregnant. And here comes baby Moses. It would be a scary time. So Moses' mom decided to have the baby, but she hid him, put him away so nobody can hear him. But the only problem about it is when baby boys begin to grow up, they get louder and louder and louder. And Jochebed comes to the end of a rope, and she knows that she has to let her little boy go. This would have been so hard. So she gets a wicker basket, and she puts tar and pitch on the outside of it. And then she puts the little baby in there, and I'm sure some of his favorite things was in there with him. And she goes out to the Nile with her precious baby, places him in the water, and Jochebed had to turn her baby loose. I'm sure that was very, very, very hard for her. Moses floats off, but Jochebed has his big sister to watch to see what the fate of the baby's going to be. Anyway, Jochebed turns her baby loose, and the basket with the baby in it ends up in Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket, has somebody bring him over. And then all of a sudden, she opens the top, and little Moses is crying. And you know what happens when women see babies cry. Their heart's broken. And she had compassion on the baby. But this next comment she says is a bit scary. She says, "Oh, this is one of the Hebrew children." You know, that could have meant a lot of things. That could have meant, all right, this little baby must die. I mean, she would have been within her legal right at that time to kill the baby. But because she had compassion, she decided not to. But Moses' big sister come along at that time. Wish I knew a little more about that story. But anyway, she comes along and she says, "Do you want me to go get one of the Hebrew women to raise the baby?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, yes, you do. Take this baby, take it to that Hebrew woman, and I'll give her her wages." So Moses' sister takes him back home. And with, I would expect within 24 hours, after Jochebed turned Moses loose, he's back home in her hands, plus wages. I think only God could do that. But the truth of the matter is, Jochebed had to turn him loose. Turn him loose and let him go. That would have been so hard. But almost instantaneously, God came through and honored her faith and brought little Moses back into her hands, plus wages. Sometimes God does that. But this next story, God doesn't respond quickly. Let's have a look at Moses' story. So Moses, he's at home. His mom is raising him. But he grows up, and once he grows up, she takes him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses becomes Pharaoh's daughter's son. What does that mean? Well, it's a good chance he was trained in the best that the Egyptians had. He had the best education. He had the best military training. He had prestige. He had notoriety. He had ability. He was the man. And then I think it must have gone to his head, because one day he decides he's going to take it on his own shoulders to help poor old the Hebrews out. So he goes out and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he kills the Egyptian and hides him in the sand. Well, I guess the Hebrews will be impressed with him, right? And then the next day, he goes out again and he sees two Hebrews fighting. And then he speaks to them. He says, the Hebrew says, "Who made you prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." So Moses, good old Moses, he goes from hero to zero at the snap of a finger. He loses everything and he goes from powerful to pitiful as the result of one decision, because he's right. Pharaoh wanted to kill him. He took off after Moses, and Moses ran in a flash. Everything Moses had been working for was destroyed. Again, so much for impressing the Hebrews. Now, after running for a long time, he's tired, he's hungry, he's thirsty. He sits down at a well. I'm sure he'd like to get something to drink. But while he was there, there was these seven daughters looking at their father's sheep come along. And they were going to water their flocks. And but the shepherds were there. And the shepherds run the girls off, and Moses stands up and said, "Well, this is not right." So he runs the shepherds off, and he brings the girls back, and he even reaches down and he pulls up the water and waters the sheep and saves the day. Well, the girls go home. When they get home to Reuel's house, Reuel said, "Why are you back so early?" Well, they said, "Well, the shepherds came, but an Egyptian helped us. And he even raised the water and watered the flock." Well, Reuel said, "Well, where is he? He did that for you. Go get him. Bring him home. And at least he'll give him something to eat." Well, they went to get Moses. Moses comes back. He has a good meal. He settles in there. And life goes on. Moses was eventually given one of the daughters as a wife. Oh, incidentally, let me make mention of this. Reuel's family was from a tribe that was known as dark-skinned Africans. So in reality, Moses, a Hebrew, married a black woman. Folks, I really don't believe God sees skin color. He sees people. Well, let's go on with the story. God gives them two boys, and then again, life goes on. 20, 30, 40 years, life goes on. Not a word from God for Moses. Well, I guess his bad decision had cost him everything. God could not use him at all, or he surely would have come and rescued him by that time. Then one day, Moses was out doing his job. He goes on the backside of the desert with his father-in-law's sheep, not his. He didn't have any sheep. He was with his father-in-law, and he was watching their sheep, watching his sheep. And then all of a sudden, he sees something. Off in the distance, he sees this bush, and it's burning. I'm sure he's seen bushes burn before, but in this case, that bush that was burning was not being burned up. Moses was intrigued. Now, if you saw something like that out in the backside of the desert, what would you do? Well, a lot of people would run. "What's going on here? I don't want any part of it," but not Moses. Moses said, "Well, let me just read you what Moses said in Exodus 3:3. I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight why the bush is not burned up. He was a curious individual. He wanted to know what was going on. Now listen to the next couple of verses. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." God continues, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place you stand is holy ground." Moses has been on the backside of the desert for years and years, and he didn't have anything but a shepherd's stick in his own sandals. And God said, "That's too much. Take your sandals off. Moses, you're approaching me right now." So again, all of a sudden, God shows up and he speaks and he says, "Moses, come here." God had spoken after 40 years. Then God tells him, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to lead Israel out." Wow. God wasn't through with him. After 40 years, God shows up. But Moses had to carry the guilt of his bad decision for 40 years. 40 years of wondering. Then God shows up and rescues him and gives him his heart's desire. But Moses had also changed. Later in the book of Exodus, we see where Moses, who obviously was pretty lifted up in himself in Egypt, the Bible says that Moses was one of the most humble men ever. He'd gone from arrogant to humble during 40 years on the backside of the desert, and God used him. So what does this story have to say to us? Have you done something years ago and it just seems like God is not responding? Does it seem like God has taken his hand off of you? And you wonder, have I blown my greatest opportunity? God cannot use me because of what I've done. Well, hang on. God's not through with you yet. Your best days could very well be in front of you. So don't give up on God. You keep trusting him. Now let me encourage you to do as David said at the very beginning of this. David says this, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how long it's been, regardless of how many's coming against you, remember, David said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." Listen, it may take a long time, but God will show up. He is the Redeemer. He will redeem you and set you free and use you in a magnificent way. If you don't believe that, just ask Moses. Now, I want to share with you one more verse that just came in this morning. I just thought I had to share it. This is from Psalms 27, verse number 14. Let me read it to you. Listen closely. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Do you get the message? Wait. Be strong. During this time, you be strong. You be confident, holding on to your faith. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord, because he is the Redeemer. He will set you free. Moses would know that. Maybe that would encourage you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these stories about Jochebed, who risked it all, but very quickly you came through. Thank you for Moses, though he made a horrible mistake because of his own pride and arrogance, and though it took you so long to set him free. Lord, you eventually showed up when the time was right, and you called Moses to yourself, and you made him what is known as one of the greatest leaders in human history. After 40 years of carrying the guilt, you made him the best of the best. God, only you can do that. And Lord, I know that you can do that in our lives today. We've just got to trust you. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus.